Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
...that also offers America's best-selling face masks. Boomer didn't start out as a face mask and hand sanitizer company. So tell us about making that expansion in your product line.
Well, back in about March or April, we saw the need across the U.S. for having masks and consumer PPEs, and one of our company founders is from Vietnam. And so she reached out through her contacts to bring hundreds of thousands of highly protective three-layer masks and gloves and gowns to the United States. And Vietnam has been a long-time source of PPEs for U.S. medical needs, so we're excited to be bringing these to U.S. families. And these are highly protective. These are enhanced with nano-silver, so they're going to give you great protection for blocking those tiny drops and particles. They're also antimicrobial, comfortable, breathable, and multiple sizes for adults and kids.
Thanks, Suzanne. For more information and to order, go to BoomerNaturals.com or just stop by your local CVS pharmacy and be sure to ask for Boomer Naturals Nano Silver Masks and Gaiters. Boomer's got you covered.
Right now, make up for lost time with the new BMW R1250 GS from Performance Plus Cycles. With 136 horsepower and a camshaft control system, you're assured consistent power delivery. Whether in the city, motorway, or off-road, every mile makes you feel more free. Test ride today at Performance Plus, located off Pleasant View Road, or check out their BMW inventory online at performanceplusscycles.com. Remember, make life a ride with a BMW motorcycle.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Who that? Man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to we want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? Who that? That got that flame. Who that? Who that? That got that flame. Who that? Who that? That got that flame. So don't worry about, don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. So much to get to on a Monday, September 14th. The NFL is back. John Martin in his Las Vegas gear is 1-0 on that side of the table. Jason Smith in his Bears gear is 1-0 on this side of the table. We live on 1-0 Street. We'll see who can keep that up. I'm not going to sit here up here and tell you I'm predicting big things for my Bears. After Anthony Miller, former Tiger, helps Mitch Trubisky and the Bears win the game there late, I'm not going to act like it means we're going to the Super Bowl. It was the Lions. The Lions. A Lions team we struggled with for three quarters of that football game. We'll get to more. That's certainly not the biggest story. But, John, there was other big sports news out of Chicago. But there was a no-hitter yesterday. Were you aware of that?
I think I was, actually.
Cubbies threw a no-hitter.
Yes.
So Chicago Bears fans, Chicago Cubs fans got a lot to come in here getting loud about as well. And I'll tell you this, too, because there's plenty more to get to when it comes to Memphis football and the stories coming out of that program. But I tell you what, they did get some good news over the weekend in the fact that Arkansas State, one of three Sun Belt teams to take down Big 12 teams this weekend,
John Martin, what did you think of that?
Well, it actually obviously makes that win by them, by Memphis, look a whole lot better.
Absolutely, it does.
I mean, that's the sort of takeaway for me is that it wasn't a thing of beauty here in Memphis, but it was a win.
A little bit shaky on how to feel, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a blowout or anything like that, right?
I think we know why now.
But solid Arkansas State team. I mean, that's a good Arkansas State team. When you go on the road two straight weeks and you're able to beat a Big 12 team, I mean, you're leading for a relatively good portion of the game here, right? And then you go on the road to a Big 12 opponent in Kansas State and win that game.
Some starters, too.
Yeah,
obviously.
Absolutely. That's a good
football
team. At least
11, I think it was. So, good football team, and obviously that makes Memphis' win over Arkansas State to start the year look a lot better, as John said.
Yeah, it's nice to come in today and be on 1-0 Street. Obviously, not a lot of you out there can relate.
Man.
I don't think our stay on undefeated Street will last very long.
Well, we could be living there a lot longer than you.
Yeah, but you got the smallest house on the street.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, it's like you there.
It's not Derek Carr size.
You there, but you got the smallest size house on the street.
Went over Detroit. Not that impressive.
Well, went over Carolina. Not that impressive either, but here we are.
Congratulating each other.
What do you think? You like the new
How many of these do you have, dude?
How many of these do I have,
How much Las Vegas Raiders gear did you buy? Because whatever it is, it feels like too much this year.
Oh, no. I mean, it's the inaugural season.
I could get in a hat and a little fleecy.
Yeah.
Okay, get you through the season, but it seems like you've got a hat and a fleecy for every day of the week.
Well, this is so the hat.
You ain't going to have that many wins.
So if you look at this hat, right? This is the official hat that you'll see him wearing on the
Yeah, you love to get the year, right? But it was the camo year. You got the camo stuff.
Well, I do,
so
man.
You're saying this is what they got on the sidelines?
Yep. I got a jacket.
This fool.
I got another hat.
Act
I got
like
another
you on
hoodie.
The staff.
Well, they should put me on the staff, you know. I'll bring them some pretty blunt honesty. But it is nice to come into work today and be one of – and, you know, somebody asked me yesterday
– Cowboys fans can't relate.
Oh, they cannot relate.
Oof. Go ahead.
Very – poor loss by them.
Ooh-wee.
Got screwed there late.
That was spanking.
But a poor loss. Somebody tweeted me and said, "You was nervous, wasn't it?"
Oh, I got the same thing.
During the Panthers game.
I wasn't nervous. I was sick. I was throwing up. So.
And my response to that gentleman was, "When you are right with the Lord, you got no reason to be nervous."
I saw that mess. I saw that. I actually went through, at some point, I went through your tweets over the weekend, and I saw that mess. And thought to myself, Lord ain't going to be happy with that one because is John truly aligned? And so you put that out there like you be careful before we get struck down up in here.
When you are right with the Lord, no one can be against you. So anyway, that all happened. We'll get
Strong
into
language.
We'll all get into the NFL season in week one. It was just nice to have it back. No question
Certainly
about
was.
It. 11:25, we're going to be joined by Tim Brando. We'll talk college football with him. It was not a great weekend for the Big 12, obviously. So we will discuss that with him.
Kansas looking like Kansas.
Kansas is Kansas. Like, it doesn't really matter who's there, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into all of that with him at 11:25. 12:25, Jason Fitz is going to hop on the show. We'll talk to him about the NFL, about college football, Memphis, and more. And then at 1:25, Ryan McGee, who is an ESPN writer, talks about college football with Marty Smith. He's got a new book out called Sidelines and Bloodlines. It's on sale now. We will talk to him about all of that when he joins us at 1:25. So that's the show today. But we need to start with Memphis football. Real quick here, before we get into the news of Friday, we do have some breaking news as we speak that happened just as we came on the air. Tim Hart, who is a Memphian, a local product, linebacker for the University of Memphis, has made some big plays in his career, has opted out. He has opted out of the season for the University of Memphis, and I'll just sort of read
another one.
What he wrote. Anybody that know me knows that my love and dedication to Memphis football runs far deeper than just on the field. It has been a dream of mine to play for my hometown, and for the past 5 years, I have been honored to represent this great city and school. With that being said, after much thought, I have made the difficult decision to opt out this season. This was by far one of the hardest decisions I've ever made, but ultimately this decision is what is necessary at this time. I will continue to work hard and tackle every obstacle that comes my way, just as I have on the football field, and I look forward to returning the game I love.
Is that player number three?
Next season. Because you got Gainwell, and you got Coy Fairman.
Which we wasn't going to get to, but now I guess we'll get to.
Coy Fairman is allegedly a receiver for the Tigers.
Oh, stop. He is a receiver, only had one catch.
Well, it's like, It's one of those things. Where like
on the team, played more than you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like, do you really need to announce?
But to that point, like, I didn't know if it was just new. But in itself, if it's just
no
news,
disrespect,
but with this,
but
obviously,
like, yeah, we get it, man. You're not gonna play. You know, you weren't going to play anyway. So, whatever.
Is a trend starting, John, with the, in light of the news that we got over the weekend? That would be the question now when you bring obviously Coy's into it as well.
Okay, so I think the events of the weekend,
which we'll need to get to now, yes,
have probably caused some pause, right? I think that's a fair statement.
That's where we're at.
Ryan Silverfield's going to have a press conference.
11:30.
At 11:30, and I'm sure he is going to address the situation. But Tim Hart, I mean, he actually played. I mean, like, you look at his numbers, I mean, he was out there, right? Like, he played in the Cotton Bowl. You know, he played in the
– two of the three now that have opted out, yes. We have that established.
Right.
Really played.
Right,
Gainwell,
right,
and Hart.
Right,
yes.
Right, right. Is a trend emerging? I doubt it, because once you get the season rolling, right, you're locked in. You've already done it. But I do think that everything that happened over the weekend here, which I guess we have to address now, if you've paid attention at all, you know the story by now. But the commercial appeal, well, first of all, the Houston radio station.
When we were on the air, that's where it was at, the Houston radio station saying 20 Memphis players positive for COVID.
The Houston radio station sounded the alarm about Memphis possibly not being able to play Houston this Friday. And at the time, you know, you and I were talking about it. We didn't have any information, right? We wondered, okay, well, why would this break there first? Mm-hmm. Why would, you know, Houston know before anybody in Memphis knew? And then subsequently, Jonah Jordan said, for what it's worth, I've been told this is not true. So it seemed like that it was just not true, that it was just wild speculation. And, you know, like we talked about.
Or at least the number, certainly the number, especially that, right, the number of positive cases. Because we said at that point, well, if you're Memphis, why haven't you shut it down?
Yeah.
That's where we were at that point, yes.
And
going out of here on Friday.
And so that's how we left things on Friday. But shortly after we got off the air, the commercial appeal breaks the story that it indeed is in some ways true. There is a significant number of individuals inside Memphis football that either tested positive or were placed into quarantine due to COVID-19 protocols. The commercial appeal reported that a party bus was involved, that a party bus was part of perhaps, because in the statement that Memphis released, they mentioned social events, right? And the commercial appeal in their own reporting said a party bus was involved.
Which at the time was important, not to interrupt you, but I think important here, which at the time was important, right, that statement, at a time where, too, you had O'Brien Goodson going out on Twitter saying, look, this wasn't, right, a party bus. This was, go check Arkansas State, basically, in a tweet that since has been deleted.
Yes.
But he was saying, well, you need to look at Arkansas State,
yes,
which obviously goes on and wins this weekend. But at that time, you've got Memphis saying social event, and you've got at least one Memphis football player at that point, and others came out saying, look, there was no party bus.
Yeah, so here's the reporting exactly from the commercial appeal. I'll just sort of read from it. The Tigers have at least 20 people within the program who have tested positive for COVID-19 or in a 10-day isolation period. The source also said that Memphis has at least another 20 people in quarantine due to contact tracing. Most of the players who either tested positive for COVID-19 or are in quarantine are on the defensive side of the ball. Party bus was initially do you blame the party bus or not? Is that why it happened? No, but it was part of sort of the story, right? Like, that happened after the Arkansas State.
Memphis was clear that this wasn't a part of the football game against Arkansas State.
Correct.
In its release.
I have been told that it was not a – because when you think of party bus, right, when you think of the term and the phrase party bus and you're talking about after a win, this is what I imagine. This is how I imagined it sounding, a party bus. Like a straight up after a win party bus. This is how I imagine it sounding. There's a party bus now.
Shoot.
Like, I imagine like TJ Carter's like you know, there's like a pole in there and he's like twirling around the pole. You know, they're really like, they're really turning up on this bus. And it was not that. It was not a party bus. It was
good. Okay.
It was,
so we can end this.
It was not like.
It wasn't like this.
It was not like. And again, the commercial appeal did not sort of report it as that, right? They did not say that the players rented out a party bus and they all, you know, went out.
But what are we doing when you said party bus?
But 100%, you are going to sort of, you have a an image in your mind of what it is.
It's a party on a bus.
Yeah, it's a party on a bus. You're assuming there are going to be women and there are going to be drinks and there are going to be whatever. You know, that's just what I
know what you're assuming. Yeah.
I've been on a party bus before, and that's typically how it is. You know, there's a bar.
I've never been on a party bus. I've been on a party bus that was used as actually transport to get you back and forth over to the Michigan State Memphis game.
I've been on a party bus twice.
There's a pole in the middle, but nobody's on it.
Right. Okay. Ernie Kuiper. We were at Brookhaven once. We were at Windjammer. Remember the Windjammer?
Very, very, very vaguely.
So
we did a moment of silence for it here because it meant so much to you.
So the way it worked out was me and my friends, my Sam and some of her friends, we went to the Windjammer, and Ernie Kuiper was there celebrating, I believe, his wife's birthday. They showed up separately. And me and Sam actually left our group of friends to go on their party bus.
Oh, nice. Cute.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got to tell you, it was worth it. Okay. Any chance you can get on a party
Memphis
bus.
Memphis didn't have an experience like that is what we're saying.
No, they had like an extended van.
Somebody
right?
said
like
it was a family bus.
A Sprinter van, yeah. And I've been on a Sprinter van as well, and I know what that's like.
Not same.
It's definitely not same.
Not nearly same.
No.
And so is that what Ryan Silverfield would say, is that what's been made out at 11:30 when he answers questions, is that sort of what's been made out is not what happened?
Yeah, because—
But will the number be the same? And you get all these questions out.
Well, because I think there is a difference, right? There is a difference in terms of the perception of the story. If it's a Sprinter van that was transporting family members or whatever, and a party bus, right? It is plain irresponsible to just go out and rent a party bus and just start celebrating after winning against Arkansas State in the middle of a pandemic.
You can call it irresponsible. You can say it's college kids being college kids. Well, now that we know they didn't do that.
Yes. Well, I thought, because my—
It does change the way you feel about it,
right?
In terms of, you saw right after, well, how could they do this? Beating Arkansas State, that's, you know, you don't go out and get a party bus, especially with all the work and investment and time that you've put in so far to do this safely.
Yes.
And so it completely changes that in the way you feel, potentially, about the players.
Yes.
And their decisions in this.
Yes. So, you know, that I think, and maybe some people would say that's semantics, but I do think there at least is a difference in just the way that you would perceive the story. I think it also
a lot of people making them the butt of jokes on Friday, and you can't do that if this is the true the proper context.
Now we can talk about sort of the way that Memphis handled this, right?
Like absolutely
the way that Memphis, because to be quite honest with you, it becomes, that's one of those where I just think it's very simple. You just put a statement out. Period. When you realize that it's happening, which it is, obviously it's happening, just put that out before anybody else gets a chance to tell
their statement. More confirmed the original report. Seemed to confirm the original report.
Correct.
You're saying one that more refutes the original report.
Well, I'm just saying
if
you come out initially and just announce, boom, we've got a significant number of—
You're out ahead of it, which is the question we were asking on Friday. Why wouldn't Memphis be out ahead of
that? That way you don't have to worry about
it. That's fair.
Party bus, no party bus. Now you're trying to put out fires that didn't really need to be created.
Well, you got a player saying they're, you know, blaming Arkansas State, and you got a program saying, well, it's a social event.
It's a little bit of a mess.
It became that and didn't have to.
It didn't have to be.
Is the bottom line.
That, to me, is sort of the biggest— and we are in unprecedented times, so it's hard to be too critical, right? It's hard to be too critical because nobody has ever lived through something like this before. It's a global health crisis, and you're trying to have a season, and you're trying to do it as quote unquote normally as you possibly can. But you have to, you know, these things are going to happen. I hate to say it, and now that game has been postponed against Houston. Of course, it was.
Houston going on playing another game.
They're going to get
Taylor
a Big 12 opponent. It sounds like, yep. And Memphis will not play again until what, the 25th.
Is that San Antonio game? I think that's the date on it. I know it's San Antonio.
So it's already major disruption for the Memphis football program here. And although they are ranked 16th in the country,
that was the other news.
Good news. So you got some good news. It wasn't all bad. But to me, and my whole point of this was that, you know, because some people.
Yes, 25th. It's a Friday game.
Will use this as sort of to further their agenda or their opinion that we should just not be playing college football. That, you know, these are inevitable. Maybe they are. I don't know. But to me, it suggests that this did not happen because Memphis played football, right? This outbreak did not happen because Memphis played a football game against Arkansas State. It happened because of things that happened off the field. And maybe that is a little disheartening because no matter what you do, no matter how many times you test, no matter what your protocols are, there's always going to be something off the field that can take this thing off the rails. Something as innocent as just riding around in a Sprinter van with somebody's family.
You and I almost, it was probably the last time I got heated up in here talking about the nature of this and how do you get kids, right, to do this an entire season.
Yep.
Kids who aren't being paid, college students, to do that. And I think your side was this. Well, if they want a season and they're you know, they'll stay away from the bars, right? They'll do what they're supposed to do. But my whole thing in that was, well, college kids going college kids. Now, when you see this initial story, that's what you're saying, right? You're saying, okay, this is what we talked about, right? This is you can play the games and do all that, have the training camp, everybody does what you're supposed to do, but after a win or whatever else, you're going to keep somebody from making a wrong decision. Well, in this case, with where the context is now, that can even involve, John, getting onto a Sprinter van or whatever with a family.
Yep.
Right, but that is the case, is there will be – and so at a time, quite frankly, where it's unfortunate because at a time where – this is the part that O'Brien Goodson's right about, right? They put in so much work. Right, to get to this point in the season, right, to stay away from this. And it's unfortunate that a mistake as small as possibly getting onto a Sprinter van with the wrong family can blow this up. But John, Memphis ain't the only place that's had outbreaks. Okay, we saw it early on at Clemson. Houston had their issues early on, and it's just the nature of things. But here's my point. You know, early on when you see this take, it's man, what are these players thinking? And, oh, man, you gotta throw some off the team or you got to do something if you're Ryan Silverfield about these guys. And quite frankly, that's the wrong take because, number one, these dudes aren't being paid. And, number two, it doesn't look like they went out and celebrated on a party bus after
right,
the game.
Right, exactly.
These players should be getting credit, quite frankly. I mean, we were giving the NFL and those grown men all the love in the world for getting us to these points. The players are the ones going – these college players are the ones that in many cases deserve more credit because, John – they're doing it without being paid. They're doing it in a lot of cases for the love. Sure, some of them are doing it for their NFL stock, all that, but most of them are doing it out of the love, and they're making the right decisions in this case. That said, you ain't going to get through 100% with everybody, college programs as big as they are, all making the right decisions. It's unfortunate that where you are, and it shows you, too, how freaking contagious. I know nobody wants to talk about it anymore, but how freaking contagious this thing is. Doesn't take a whole lot. You can get on the wrong Sprinter van with the wrong family. All of a sudden, you got an outbreak. After John, you were doing so well with it, but I'm at a. This is where I'm at today. I'm giving those Memphis players a ton of credit, right? Because of what they've done to get to this point so far, and they're made out for a while there. And like you said, John, Memphis could have done a better job of getting to look like asses, right? When they've been for the most part done all the right things, done everything we've asked them to, and probably unfairly because the nature of this.
Yep.
Is college kids going college kids? It's unfortunate because those players deserve more credit, and they never should have been the butt of jokes this weekend. That's the honest truth. Now again, fault lies on both sides there, and you could say Memphis could be a little bit more forthright in terms of shutting this thing down early on.
Yep.
But I tell you what, I hope Memphis can get back. You know, I hope Memphis can get that Houston game back. Looks like there's a good possibility of that. Because where we're at today is unfortunate with all the investment, right? Literally the sweat those dudes have put in to get to this point. And we see beat a pretty darn good team to start the year off in Arkansas State.
Yep. So that was the weekend for Memphis football. It was quite a weekend. And now they're obviously going to be quarantining those guys and isolating. And they're going to try to play football games September 25th against San Antonio. Will they be ranked by then?
Memphis?
Yeah.
They'll still be ranked at that point. You haven't lost any games.
Right.
So, maybe you're not where you are right now, 16.
It's just weird.
But you'll probably be behind.
You'll be behind. Or you'll have one game where everybody else probably will have three. It'll be weird. So, Anyway, that is the latest over there at Memphis Football. We'll come back. Tim Brando is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the weekend in college football, the Big 12, and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves World Championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC and health department require, including a three-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at memphisbbqco.com.
With so many new pet owners, Kezia's Grooming can't keep up.
Kezia's Grooming? Sorry, we'll book solid through the weekend. I can give you a call back, though, if something opens up.
It's time to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
It's me, your personal info. Remember when I was only in a few places?
Like your wallet.
Your computer.
Or a safe deposit box.
Well, now I'm practically everywhere.
On all your devices.
Where you browse, shop,
and bank online.
Anywhere you log in.
Your info is out there.
And what you do online can leave you vulnerable to cyber criminals. More threats demand more protection. That's why Norton and LifeLock are now part of one company. Norton 360 with LifeLock provides all-in-one membership for your cyber safety that gives you device security, identity theft protection, a VPN for online privacy, and more. No one can prevent all cybercrime and identity theft, but Norton 360 with LifeLock is your ally in today's connected world, even if your info is on vacation. Sign up today for Norton 360 with LifeLock and save 25% or more off your first year by going to norton.com/news. That's norton.com/news for 25% off.
Right now, make up for lost time with the new BMW R1250 GS from Performance Plus Cycles. With 136 horsepower and a camshaft control system, you're assured consistent power delivery. Whether in the city, motorway, or off-road, every mile makes you feel more free. Test ride today at Performance Plus, located off Pleasant View Road, or check out their BMW inventory online at performanceplusscycles.com. Remember, make life a ride with a BMW motorcycle.
This is Gary Parrish, reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. The Smile Center, it's Dr. Maddie Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients. And needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. That means pre-screening, temperature checks, air purifiers with HEPA filters everywhere, and a limited number of people in the waiting room and clinical areas. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients. And for those of you who've lost your dental coverage due to COVID-19, the Smile Center has insurance plans available for you and your family. If you have dental insurance, let me ask you this. Have you used all of your insurance benefits for 2020? If not, you should do that before the end of the year, and there's nobody better to do it with than the Smile Center. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. It's the Smile Center on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
Consumer investigator Andy Wise here. I've always warned you against third-party extended warranties or service plans. They can leave you high and dry without any of the protections you paid for. You should trust a local service company's maintenance plan instead. I've checked them out, and the best one in the Mid-South is the Choate's HVAC Fam Plan. Lauren Choate's here. Lauren, tell us about the Fam Plan.
Andy, think of the Choate's Fam Plan like your family buying a membership to our family's consumer protection.
Like what?
Like a 40-point heating and air inspection twice a year with 20% off your parts and repairs and up to 2 pounds of Freon every year.
Anything else?
Try a 95-point plumbing inspection with an annual free drain cleaning.
Okay, here's where the Choate's Fan Plan really gets me. You drop all service charges with the Fan Plan.
Yep.
And Choate's Fan Plan members get priority service from the line with all the benefits of your longer warranty.
Right, for just $24.99 a month.
Folks, this is the most consumer-friendly maintenance plan in the market. The Choate's Fan Plan puts your family first.
Learn more at choateshvac.com, and remember, let our family serve your family.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes. Try new styles in the comfort of your own home, and there's no subscription required ever. So, isn't it time to refresh your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
This is your alarm on an ordinary vacation.
Hello, ma'am. This is your wake-up call.
This is your alarm on a real vacation. Go on a real vacation. Go RV. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRVing.com.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Jason Fitz is the host of Spain and Fitz. He does it all for ESPN. He's one of our favorites, and he joins us now. Fitz, how great was it to just have an entire Sunday of NFL football?
You know, it felt so much more normal than I expected it would. And, like, this is sort of a weird observation, but as I was watching Saturday, we realized on Saturday games how much they do during college football go to the fans. On an NFL game, they really don't. So the way the broadcast was pumping in the sound and the stadiums were doing it, and I know some people had their fun with that on Twitter, but I thought it ended up feeling largely normal, which I didn't feel on Saturday. So kudos to the way they presented the games on Sundays, because there were times that I forgot that those stadiums were empty until we'd be coming back from commercial and you'd see the big shot.
Yeah, I have a few things on college football that we will get to. But in terms of your big takeaways from week one of the NFL season, what were they?
I think the number one takeaway that it affects every game is something that Sarah smartly pointed out to me last week that I was watching for. Look, there were a handful of officials that opted out. And so all of a sudden, it's not like they have a great minor league bullpen system for other officials. I thought officials were really cautious in throwing flags in games. So they love to use the phrase, let them play in the NBA. That's what they were doing in the NFL. They were letting them play. I wonder if that's going to be a standard throughout the course of the season, because there's no way games were that clean coming in with no preseason. But it felt like it because refs were letting them play. The other thing is it's just a reminder to everybody, it's going to take a little time. If you have new coaches, new staffs, new systems, it's going to take time before your team looks the way they will. So I'm trying not to overreact to anything this week and give it about a month before we actually see what we can take away.
If you're the Titans, Fitzy, which result from the weekend mattered more, maybe more impactful in terms of your chances of winning the South? Is it Houston losing 34-20 at KC on Thursday, or the Colts inexplicably falling to the Gardner Minshew's of Jacksonville 27-20? Which one matters to you more as a Titans guy?
The Colts, because I think the Texans they already have a liability at head coach, so I don't particularly believe in that team moving forward, no matter how talented they are. For the Colts, they have an incredible roster, and Phillip Rivers is somebody you guys know I'm not super hot on. So to see Phillip Rivers be so good in the first half, but then still see the Jags get the win, and in the process, the Colts suffer a big injury at Marlon Mack at running back, possible Achilles tear. You know, when you start to look at that, I mean, that sets the Colts back. So the Colts, I think, are the best roster in the division. So for them to take a loss to a bad Jags team is a statement for the Titans that really means it's their year to take it.
Agreed.
Change can be hard, right, in any facet of life, which is why I appreciate Tom Brady stepping in and throwing a pick six. You know, I mean, I had really gotten used to Jameis back there, and he made the transition very easy. I mean, I don't know if I did not expect the Bucs to actually win that game yesterday, but I think I expected the offense to look a little bit better than it did. Where are you on the Bucs-Brady experiment, and are you of the mind that it's something that will improve as the season goes on?
It will improve. You know, I expected more, though. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I think the Saints are the best team in the NFC, and I think the Bucs, if everything goes well, are battling for the bottom of the wild card. So I think there's a big division, and this was a lot about how good the Saints are. So I want to give them some credit. But it needed to look a little smoother with Brady coming in, and I'm a little surprised that Bruce Arians didn't have more up his sleeve to sort of make Brady comfortable. So because it was just clunky is the best word to describe it. And they looked lost a lot of times. So I was a little surprised it was as bad as it was. I still think the Bucks are going to be fine. But when I say fine, they're just going to be fine. Sort of like 9-7, 8-8. That's where I thought they'd fall, and nothing I saw yesterday changed that for me.
You know, Tom Brady, it's just kind of funny. He has done so much winning, right, in New England. Like, you get used to that video that he posts on, you know, Monday that he, you know, that somebody puts together for him where he's talking about 1-0 or 2-0 or 3-0, and now he's 0-1. I mean, I don't know when the last time Tom Brady started the season 0-1 was. It's probably been quite some time. How do you think I don't think he's questioning his decision, right? But do you think there's at least a part of him that's going to have to get used to, hey, we're not always going to be 12-4 every year now?
Yeah, and, you know, I think one of the under-talked about adjustments, because we keep talking about how's Cam going to adjust to the Patriot way. Well, I think there's a fair opposite conversation. How's Brady going to react to not being in the Patriot way? I mean, the first time something isn't handled the right way in practice, or there's a little devil-in-the-detail moment that's lost by the Bucks, how's Tom Brady going to handle not having the same type of, accountability around him, the culture around him that he's used to having? Because that's an unknown here. So I wonder what it's going to feel like for him as an adjustment when he looks around and the little things aren't quite as tight. They aren't as tight for anybody that doesn't wear a Patriots jersey.
Debut you were most impressed by. Assuming we'll set Tom off to the side, that one wasn't so impressive. Cam Newton in New England, you had Clyde Edwards-Helaire looking the part in KC, living up to the expectations. Or DeAndre Hopkins had 14 receptions on 16 targets. Helps, obviously, Arizona beat San Fran. Which of those debuts, or was there another one, Fitzy, you were more impressed by?
Well, Edwards-Helaire is just another weapon for the Chiefs, but I can't put, like, they can run the ball now, but it's also the Chiefs. They're going to be great at everything, so I'll set them aside. I think the Cardinals in general, because my biggest question coming into this season was, now that everybody's had the entire offseason to study everything Kyler Murray does and everything that offense is going to look like, they've had the opportunity to get ready for it. What's it look like? And I really expected the 49ers with their defense to be able to come out and make a statement at some point that sort of shows, okay, we had the offseason to get ready for it. Well, they did, and they weren't ready for it. So, you know, as much as we question some of the coaching decisions they made going into that and Kyler Murray being drafted, we questioned all of that. Now I'm looking at it saying, hey, should the Cardinals be getting more love? Because they've obviously adjusted faster than the 49ers defense had, and that's every win in that division is going to be significant. So I think the Cardinals made a significant statement in week one.
You expect to see more from Dallas, especially offensively in that game? How much credit are we giving to the Rams defense? And then, you know, McCarthy first game, I think we all thought that would be explosive a lot more than it was. What do you think?
Yeah, especially because, you know, I've been talking about adjustment and how it's going to take everybody time, but the Cowboys did keep Kellen Moore, so there was supposed to be some continuity with that staff. And, you know, it's obvious. The Rams just gave you a blueprint. All right, you'll let Amari Cooper catch as many 8-yard passes as he wants. You just won't let it go farther than that. And as long as that's the blueprint for teams that are going to look in and take it, I expected the Cowboys to come out not only a little bit more creatively, but a little bit more aggressively, and they just didn't. So I'm not surprised the Rams won the game. I picked the Rams to win the game because I think, A, the Rams are better than we're giving them credit for, and B, there is an adjustment time for the Cowboys. But I expected the Cowboys to look cleaner and on offense than they did in that game, so that's concerning.
We're talking to Jason Fitz. You can hear him on Spain and Fitz right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Fitz, at this point, are you expecting the Big Ten to play football? That seems to be where all the momentum is right now, that there's going to be a vote, and the idea is, if there's a vote, they are not taking another vote just to cast it down. So are you expecting the Big Ten to play football in October? And if that is the case, what was the point of all of this?
Well, the back half of what you just said there is the reason that I don't think they're going to play this October. You know, they left pretty significant windows open when they decided not to play, where they're going to reexamine the decision. And this was that first window. They're going to take a vote on it. And I think so many people just presume they're going to say yes, but I'm not presuming that for a couple of reasons. Some of the numbers are still bad in some of those states. So if it's about medical portions of this, I'm not sure what's gotten so significantly better. But that question is what I don't think powerful people want to have to answer. I mean, if you are a chancellor or a president that voted no a month ago, now everybody else is playing, you're going to have to answer what changed specifically. I don't know that people want to answer that publicly, and I don't think the ego wants to allow that to happen. I do think the Big Ten will reexamine it every month, and we're going to go through this. I think they'll play sooner than we think. But if they come out and play now, they're going to have to answer why they weren't already playing. They don't want to do that. Plus, remember this. It's all about liability to me. If they've changed their mind, they have to have such significant medical data to change their mind that if, God forbid, somebody gets coronavirus, if somebody has myocarditis, if it kills somebody, if it changes somebody's life, they're going to have to answer in court at some point why they first said no and now said yes. That's a very complicated legal question to answer. So, no, as much as I think people want the Big Ten to play, I don't think they're going to make that decision right now. Mm.
Should the Big 12 opt out, Fitzy, after losing the three of them to Sunbelt teams?
That was ugly, right? I mean, and inexcusable. The Sunbelt, our FPI, our stat weenies, gave the Sunbelt a 2% chance to pull off two of the three of those upsets. To come in and do that to the Big 12, it is an embarrassment. And really what's happening right now is the Big 12 and, frankly, the ACC to a lot of degree reminded us that they have a couple of great football teams and then a lot of hot garbage in that conference. And that's not the look you want when you have the opportunity to showcase. I mean, Saturday should have been a showcase for the Big 12 and for the ACC. And instead we walked away saying, man, maybe North Carolina is not as good as we thought. Kansas, every football team in Kansas that's not in the NFL should just quit. I mean, there's a spot where you turn around and laugh about how bad some of those teams look.
You know, here in Memphis, locally, Fitz, there was an unfortunate development with COVID. 20 players reportedly contracted the virus. 20 others have been obviously isolated and quarantined because of contact tracing. I've heard, you know, staff members have it as well. So a real legitimate outbreak. And, you know, there was a report here in Memphis that it was a party bus. Whether it was a party bus or an extended van, whatever you want to call it. I mean, this is life, right? I mean, this is life in 2020 in college football. And stories like this are going to be part of it, right? And figuring out how to navigate through is the only way through.
Yeah, and that's such a great point because this is going to be life for everybody. And, you know, I can't believe I'm even having to say it, but it's a reminder that you've got to watch every single activity that you're a part of. And I would think that between the struggles that they've had, you know, in Major League Baseball, and then particularly, I mean, we're a week away from an NBA player in the middle of an important playoff series being sent home because he broke the rules. I would think that if I'm a college athlete watching all of this, I'd say, man, okay, I understand there's not a lot of wiggle room. For some reason, that didn't happen here. And accountability is everything because I don't believe the teams, whether it's college football or NFL, the teams that are standing at the end, that are winning it all, aren't going to be the teams that are the best. To me, they're going to be the teams that looked around and decided they were willing to make the most sacrifice every single day to play within the rules of COVID-19, whatever they may be, and not put themselves in any situation. I hate to say it for college kids, but you really want to make it through this season playing college football, your answer is go to practice, come home, sit in your dorm, talk to nobody. And that's just awful. It's a terrible, boring way to live for a college kid, but that's the truth.
Some people here have suggested that Ryan Silverfield dismiss those players that were on the extended van or, again, whatever you want to call it. Some have suggested that maybe because of sort of the the laissez-faire or the lack of regard for the virus or whatever the case may be, the team, that you should make a statement and send a message by throwing those players off the team. Do you agree with that? How do you handle situations like that?
No, I don't agree with it because ultimately they are still college kids. And, you know, we've seen people stay on teams for far worse. You know, I mean, we live in a world where somebody can frankly – you know, get a DUI and things like that, and they'll still be eligible to play college football in a lot of programs, right? So you've got to find a balance between, you know, ultimately, let's remember, part of his job as a coach, and you guys are probably tired of hearing me saying this, but coach's job partially is to mold young men, and that means that you're going to have to embrace them through bad decisions. They didn't do anything illegal. They did something that was stupid. And if you reach the point where you start kicking everybody off of a team because of the way they handle COVID, A, you're putting that player ultimately at more risk because you're going to send them away from the structure that they need. But B, you've just set a precedent on how you will handle every single infraction for the rest of your coaching career. And I'm not sure any coach wants to go down that rabbit hole of, you know, where that line is. Because if that's all it takes to be kicked off a team permanently, and I say all it takes because, again, not illegal, just a stupid decision. And if all they've done is a stupid decision and they get kicked off a team, that's a dangerous precedent for punishment moving forward.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Fitzy, but because we had all the NFL we did, I paid absolutely no attention to Nuggets Clippers. And I wonder, sure, it's going to a Game 7 on Tuesday, we'll all be watching. But is the NBA facing a little bit of a, in terms of having the attention on them with their conference finals, they facing a little bit of a fight here, a big fight with the NFL in terms of for attention, the people's attention?
Yes. Yes, you're so right, and I'll say it harsher than you just did. I think it was just flat-out stupid for the NBA to bury a playoff game in the middle of all of that action. Like, at least give somebody a chance. You're in the bubble. We're used to weird times for NBA games, right? How often have we seen, like, a 4 p.m. game on a weekday? So either give it to me in the morning or give it to me later at night when the only thing against it is one football game or even late afternoon window. But putting it against so much NFL action, what chance did they have to get people to watch that? It made no sense to me. It was a level of cockiness from the NBA that I think doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I know diehards are always going to find their action.
Right.
But you've got to make sure that casual fans can find your games. And they didn't do that. And for the NBA not to do that is dumb. And now we're going to have the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NHL all trying to cut through with their conference finals and finals ultimately at the same time as the NFL gets going. That is not an easy task.
Fitz, the Raiders did start 1-0, but John Gruden took an L on social media yesterday because of his hair. I don't know if you noticed, but it's a disaster area. How do you explain John Gruden's hair, and at what point do you say it's just time to let it go?
Well, you know, as somebody that has spectacular hair myself, I feel like it's hard for me to judge other people on this, but I've been asking Junior to go Bic for a long time. Like, it takes years. You know, if there's anything I've learned, like, Mike has started to get rid of some of that hair, and I tell him all the time. Like, it just takes years of convincing. I think, you know, John's got a little bit of pride left. He had the hat on, but, yes, the funny thing is even before social media, because, you know, here's your fun fact. I'm watching, obviously, on Sunday Ticket because of where I live, but I'm watching Sunday Ticket streaming, so I've got this little delay on everything. So a lot of times I'm off social media because what I don't want to do is see somebody tweet about a play before I've actually seen it. So during the commercials and period breaks and quarter breaks, that's when I hop on, right? So the funny thing is I saw the hair for Gruden, and I said, oh, God, out loud in the house. And then I look at social media. I'm like, yep, the whole world saw that one. So I feel like Chucky's had better days with the hair. It's time to let it go. But of all the things for us, let's go back and look at pictures of John 20 years ago. He looked a lot different in other ways too. Like he's put on a little bit of poundage
he looks pregnant. Right? Like, he looks pregnant.
I mean,
he does.
My guy's carrying it right now. So, you know, I feel like maybe start working on all of it, John, like, especially because his son is, you know, part of strength and conditioning. Like, at some point, you gotta figure that out.
I'm happy for you and my guy, John Martin, that you guys are 1-0. But let's be real. Next five, you got Saints, Pats, Bills, Chiefs, Bucks. How many of those five you Raiders winning?
Saints, Pats. I think I had them 2-5 or 2-6 at one point. I still think, look, I think the Raiders are going to finish around 8-8, 9-7. I think they're a good football team.
Okay.
They've got a gauntlet early on.
Yep.
And so, you know, I look at what we've seen. I think the Bucs are a beatable football team. I don't think they're as good as anybody said they
were.
Give
me that. Yep.
I didn't predict them to go to the playoffs before the Monday or before the disaster yesterday. So I'm not as high on that. But I mean, clearly, what we saw yesterday was a reminder that the Saints and the Chiefs that we've seen in Week 1 are better than everybody. And the Bills, I mean, I know it's the Jets. The Bills are going to be stinking good this year. For anybody that likes to laugh at Buffalo, they're going to be stinking good.
Fitch, you're the best in the business, man. Stay safe out there, and thanks for the time.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Notice we didn't get into any Bears. Maybe next week.
We'll save it. We know Trubisky was bad. 3 out of 4. Won't waste your time.
We got to get to 2-0 before we start talking Bears. Okay? So we'll save that for next week.
Have a good week, brother.
I just had to get it in. All right,
yes, sir. Thanks, Fitz. He is Jason Fitz. Catch him on Spain and Fitz. And he'll be doing some other stuff for ESPN coming up this NFL season.
He was feeding Golic this weekend during the Iowa State game. I don't know if you saw that. He was bringing donuts to the with the mask on and everything else, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's always there, Fitzy.
You know, we have our NFL gear on today. Looking good, Jason. No, I got to tell you, man, your gear, it's outdated. You don't buy any new gear. It's time to upgrade. You're 1-0, man. Act like it. I mean, you've had that hoodie for at least 20 years?
And I wear it once or twice a week, so nothing really has changed. I usually wear it every Monday, not here gloating over a a win over the hapless Detroit Lions. But we'll take it.
1-0.
Especially when it comes from a Millie.
That's right. That's exactly right. You can make a good point.
Hey, good chance we go 2-0 with the Giants next week, but we won't talk about it.
Indeed. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come around the show. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
Giannotto and Jeffrey.
How was it trying to get a defense ready to play when you probably didn't know who was going to play on Friday?
It was very interesting. I thought the young men and our coaching staff adapted really well, but it's different than it's ever been. You hear that every, I guess that should be the theme words for 2020, right?
The Giannotto and Jeffrey Show, weekdays 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Get us on Instagram, instagram.com/92.9ESPN.
Sports in the United States have finally mostly returned. Football is back. Major League Baseball is headed toward the playoffs. The MLS season continues. So we got a lot of stuff to sit at home and watch. And if you like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to have a drink while you're watching. And if you like me, New Amsterdam Vodka should be your drink of choice. New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As you surely know by now, it's so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodkas, understand New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon is the newest flavor. Keep an eye out for that. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or in a liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out. On the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Everywhere you look these days, things are starting to come back. Football, school, the institutions that make up the fabric of our lives. So there's no better time to come back and visit another enduring Memphis institution, Oak Hall. Seriously, if you haven't been back, stop in and see them today. You'll find the same helpful people and the same beautiful clothing. I know I always feel restored just walking through the place. Pick up some shorts or knit shirts from Peter Millar. Get yourself something for the outdoors. I've loved stopping in at Oak Hall on a fall weekend just to browse. And since you'll likely be watching the football games on TV this year, it's a way of getting a little taste of normal back in your lives. During the last 6 months, I think we've all learned how much relationships matter. Relationships with family and friends, and also with the institutions and places that we hold dear. For a whole lot of Memphians, Oak Hall is one of those places. So stop in and see your old friends sometime soon.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
It always is moving season. So when that time comes, make sure you call my friends at Black Tie Moving for all your moving needs. If you're thinking about relocating, whether it's home or office, cross town, cross country, make sure you call the pros at Black Tie Moving, 316-6196, 316-6196. They have changed moving in the city of Memphis. Because when you're moving, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life that matter and are very important to you. They understand that over at Black Tie. They're going to be there on time. They're going to be there on budget. Go with my friends at Black Tie. Book your move now because it's going to start booking up fast. Moving season is always here. Black Tie can take the chore of moving out of your hands. Make it that much easier for you. Black Tie Moving. Change the moving in the city of Memphis. Call today. We mentioned at the beginning of the show that Ryan Silverfield was going to be having a press conference on Zoom. When do you think we'll have our first in-person press conference again? You think it'll be 2021?
You give
a little hope to late fall?
Oh, the one thing about it is, like you see on these studio shows and stuff, folks are coming back in.
They are.
You know what I'm saying?
It's slowly happening again.
Saw Foxes, and
Isn't Jimmy Fallon doing, like, his show again regularly? Or I saw that.
Or about to.
Okay.
Yeah, or about to.
They were showing clips of him in like sitting across from people, but maybe that's old footage.
Yeah, those are old clips.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. So I apologize. So we're not quite there yet.
Maybe at the end, we'll see.
Okay.
We've got room to go.
Before, keep me posted.
Yeah, a lot of ways to go. Before
we got the Russian vaccine coming, so just stay tuned. It'll be coming to your doorstep. But Ryan Silverfield did address the media earlier today, just a few moments ago, and we actually have a little bit of that press conference. Here is Ryan Silverfield on the party bus, on not party bus, on the positive test in the program.
Please. Next topic I'd like to address: after many discussions, we believe that there was no party bus. The first we had heard of it in our program was from a media report. We were told that two players were picked up by a family. Yes, his parents were in an extended van outside a student housing complex. This is the same van that was used for the out-of-town family and friends to travel to the Liberty Bowl and to the game. Please. Next topic I'd like to address after
media discussions. Yeah, so anyway, that was Ryan Silverfield there on the story, which is, you got to say, like, this is a quite complicated situation now, isn't it, Jason? Because
I guess it doesn't have to be.
Well,
but I'll explain.
Well, because the commercial appeal initially reported party bus, and we talked about sort of the perception that comes with a party bus. What was your, because I think your interpretation of party bus is actually how most people interpret it. So can you just sort of share with the listeners, when you've heard party bus, what you thought that was?
I thought it was a bunch of players on a bus with poles and maybe even some girls and acting, you know, wilding out. I think that's where most of us think when you think party bus and you say a party bus was involved. That's sort of what you envision. I don't think I'm alone in that. And so there's a certain perception when it's reported that of, man, a bunch of players really made a poor decision here. Doesn't that sort of come along with it? With the words party bus, and I'm sure if you're on that side of it, you could argue, well, that's just what we were told. But in this case, spirit of the truth is always matters too, and even if that's what you're told, it gives off a false impression again that a number of players made the wrong decision, especially when it's paired with the news that you got 20 positives,
right? Absolutely,
because it gives off the impression that at least 20 guys got on the bus, they all get it from a party bus. So from that standpoint. And Ryan going out of his way, Silverfield clearly here to say, not party bus, you got it wrong. And unfortunately, it put Memphis in a position, right, where I guess we can discuss this too. You know, you can come out and nail that too early on. And that wasn't, you know, there was a time there where this Memphis became the butt of jokes this week. Hey, told you so, all this stuff. Or what were they, or they beat Arkansas State and they won a party, right, where that didn't need to be as long as it was. That interval, you could, number one, because story's wrong.
Yep.
Number two, because Memphis didn't come out and, I guess, dispute it more firmly.
Right.
They have now.
I mean,
clearly they have, and clearly Ryan Silverfield is angry about it.
I mean,
cut that thing short, and in terms of the Zoom, and from all the tweets we've seen, admonished Memphis media for rolling with that story.
Okay, so let's just talk about that for a second.
The whole media? We're talking about the CA.
Right, because that the commercial appeal was the source, right? They really, that was the initial report. Everybody was not saying party bus.
So much so that a Daily Memphian reporter, Jonah Jordan, went back.
Yes.
Went back, and after he said this wasn't true initially.
Yes.
Remember, that's what we were working on Friday. Jonah was the first reporter to say this isn't true. Turns out that was right. But yet, based on that report from the CA, he'd gone back and recanted it and said, well, guess I got it wrong. In fact, Jonah had it
right
from the get-go. Again, this is assuming, right, that again, Sprinter van, whatever, family van, this is what happened to got on. But for the wrong story was out there for too long. There's no question about it. Or at least a story that gave off a false impression of what went down.
Right. So the story in the CA reads exactly like this. The dramatic uptick in positive tests, according to the source, has been attributed to a party bus that members of the team were on after last Saturday's season opening win against Arkansas State. That Memphis is saying unequivocally there was no party bus after a win after win over Arkansas State. Now, let me ask you this. Is this semantics, or are we saying – I don't know what the answer is, right? party bus, sprinter van.
Oh, there's a big difference. Can't sit up here and just say it's semantics,
right? Well, when Memphis is saying that it was not
bus. We're saying a family party bus that can only get, you know, two more, that got two Tigers on it, and so that's semantics? No. Because, again, it's the whatever you want to call it, semantics, spirit of the thing, all of it was off to a point where, again, for too long you're sitting there picturing Tigers on a party bus after the Arkansas State win with the John. Again, you have to put it with the information that you've got 20 positives, and again, the assumption is you're left to assume that those 20 were part of the party bus, that they're all on the bus, right? And again, the country picked this up.
Yep.
And that's sort of what it became. Look at Memphis. Look at those fools celebrating after. And again, that you can fault Memphis here if you want to, spend a little bit of time on that for not coming out and killing it earlier on.
Yep.
They could have gone to the Daily Memphian. They could have gone to the CA and said, hey, take this down. They didn't. But the part was they're having to respond to something, John, that isn't the truth.
Yep.
You're talking about between Sprinter Van and Party Bus, there's a lot of room there. It's not the same.
Well, I mean, do we still have that? Do we have that Silverfield clip still? Because, I mean, he was pretty
unequivocal
definitive
that it's not a party bus.
Next topic I'd like to address: after many discussions, we believe that there was no party bus. The first we had heard of it in our program was from a media report. We were told that two players were picked up by a family. Yes, his parents were in an extended van outside a student housing complex.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.